This morning we began discussing the pastimes, glories of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And tonight we are continuing. I would like to speak of a pastime that His Holiness Nrisimha Maharaj mentioned this morning briefly. This pastime is very mysterious and very deep. The Danda Bhanga Leela, the breaking of the sannyas staff of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before discussing this Leela, please understand that the Acharyas have said this is a very, very profound and mysterious Leela. There's so much to it that does not meet the ordinary eye. From the mundane point of view, or even from the neophyte devotee point of view, we would consider, so a sannyas staff was broken. What is the big deal? What is the significance? But then we see the statements by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, all alerting us to the fact that this pastime has very deep import. In fact, this pastime is so deep that you get different angles of vision on this pastime by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur. First, let me begin with the statement of Kaviraj Goswami. Danda Bhanga Leela e Param Gambira. This particular Leela, the Danda Bhanga Leela, is supremely deep, confidential mystery, Parama Gambira. And only, Kaviraj Goswami says, only one who possesses bhakti dhira, firm attachment, steady attachment for the lotus feet of the two lords. Only that kind of person can understand the full import of the Danda Bhanga Leela. Lord Chaitanya and his associates are on their way from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, because as we discussed this morning, Shachi Mata had desired that although Lord Chaitanya cannot remain in his hometown, if he stays in Puri, she'll easily get news of him. He's on his way to Neelachal, and Kaviraj Goswami relays that the Lord wanted to bathe in a river, and he also wanted to visit a temple of Lord Shiva, Vaishnavana Mitashambhu, Lord Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava. He entrusted his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu considered Lord Chaitanya's danda to be useless. That was his consideration of the absolute truth. And therefore, Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda in three pieces and threw it in the river. Lord Chaitanya returns, and they're about 8 miles, 6 or 8 miles from Puri, and the Lord sees from the distance the Jagannath Mandir, the chakra on top of the Mandir. Seeing that is as good as seeing the deity. Therefore, for example, Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur, never mind that you can't go in the Jagannath temple. Just look at the chakra on top. That's as good as seeing the deity. So from afar, Lord Chaitanya sees Jagannath Mandir. And he begins to dance, laugh, and cry in ecstasy, proceeding towards the Jagannath Mandir. And all the devotees become immersed in ecstatic love of Krishna, chanting and dancing along with the Lord. As the party nears Jagannath Puri, still, although it's 6 miles away, Lord Chaitanya is taking it to be, taking the distance to be thousands of miles. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating Yugayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shunyayatam Jagatsarvam Govinda Virahename. Just a few miles seems to be like thousands of miles. Just like a moment seems to be the passing of so many yugas. This is feeling of separation, Vipralamba Seva, love of Krishna and separation. When Lord Chaitanya reaches the outskirts, the very entrance to Puri, his external consciousness returns. Lord Chaitanya was either an external consciousness, a complete internal consciousness of ecstasy, or in between. Now his external consciousness returns. And he says to Lord Nityananda, can you please return my danda? Lord Nityananda replies that this danda is broken. You see, what happened was that you were dancing in ecstasy and falling, and I caught you. And the weight of both you and I combined fell upon the danda. It's broken. I don't know where the pieces are. If you consider it to be an offense, then you can punish me. Lord Chaitanya was apparently sad and also a bit angry. And this response of Lord Chaitanya has provoked so much discussion by acharyas. The question is posed by Kaviraj Goswami, three questions for us to meditate on as we try to get to the bottom of this lila, which is Parama Gambhira, supremely deep, supremely mysterious. The first question is, why did Lord Nityananda break the danda? The second question, though, is, why did Lord Chaitanya let him break the danda? And the third question is, why was the Lord a little sad and even a bit angry? Let us consider these questions as we try to enter into this mysterious lila. What has Nityananda Prabhu considered? He's considered that Lord Chaitanya has no need to carry a danda like a sannyasi under regular principles. Who is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahianya. He is Radha and Krishna combined. That's the kind of personality Lord Chaitanya is. So Nityananda is considering that personality. Why should he carry a danda? The danda is useless. Krishna is always a Paramahansa. He's always completely detached from the material energy, although apparently within the material energy. Just like the lotus flower rests upon the water but doesn't touch the water. The swan, the hamsa, can extract milk from a mixture of milk and water. Similarly, the Paramahansa devotee can always extract the absolute truth in any situation. If that title fits anyone, it certainly fits the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why does Lord Chaitanya need to carry a danda? As if he's a sadhaka, subject to the rules and regulations of gradual spiritual development. This is Nityananda Prabhu's consideration. But what is Lord Chaitanya's consideration? And why did externally Lord Chaitanya undoubtedly seem sad and even a bit angry? Lord Chaitanya is determined to be the acharya and set the standard for devotees to behave in bhakti. He was wary that neophytes are often very quick to assume that they are on a high level of spiritual attainment and prematurely declare themselves to be paramahansas beyond the rules and regulations. Just like our Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a famous letter once about, he's urging devotees, please attend the temple programs. He said, I'm sitting here in Vrindavan, I'm listening to class given by my disciples. I know not here, but sometimes in other temples, devotees can consider that who is giving class? If it's not a devotee who if it's a devotee I don't consider to be advanced, I won't come to class. The Srila Prabhupada was saying in his letter that I'm going to class. He's listening to his disciples give class. And then he coined the famous statement, don't be a bigger Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. Your Guru Maharaj is going to class and hearing his disciples speak. Why can't you? Don't be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. The Lord Chaitanya was mindful of all these tendencies on the path back to Godhead. The neophytes and their concoctions, their imaginary image of themselves. Lord Chaitanya wanted to firmly display the regulations of spiritual development. He wanted to show that generally at the end of life, every man should take sannyas and gradually increase in dependency on Krishna and decrease dependency on matter. And so Lord Chaitanya was carrying the danda to set the proper standard of behavior. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yajadacharati shrishta tattate vicharojana. Sayat pramanam kurute. Whatever the great person does, whatever the shrishta does, everyone else follows. Whatever standards he sets, all the world pursues. So Lord Chaitanya had that in mind. Nityananda had something else in mind. Nityananda Prabhu wanted to establish that Lord Chaitanya doesn't need to do all this. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda so that people would think deeply about who is Lord Chaitanya. He's no sadhaka. He is Radha and Krishna combined. The most extraordinary personality. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains this leela in this way. And Srila Prabhupada presents his words as the authority. This is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has said. But it is acknowledged, it's a difficult pastime to understand. You may be thinking, why did the Lord become a little sad? A little angry. This is not mundane sadness and mundane anger. This is Lord Chaitanya's devotional determination to set the proper standard. But then again, remember, Kaviraja Goswami asked the question, why did Lord Chaitanya allow Nityananda Prabhu to break the danda? To understand that, you must understand the glories of Sri Nityananda Ram, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining this morning. How much different are Krishna and Balaram? Krishna is bluish, Balaram is whitish. Krishna generally wears yellow dhoti, Balaram bluish. That's about the biggest difference you can come up with. Similarly, how much different are Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? Each is the intimate knower of each other's mind. So, you can't put out of your thinking the point that Lord Chaitanya allowed Nityananda Prabhu to break the danda. In this way, indirectly, Lord Chaitanya has indicated what his status is, while at the same time, he's upholding the execution of Dharma according to regular principles. So all these things are going on at once. As the Lord is proceeding toward Jagannath Puri. Where he'll see Lord Jagannath. He'll approach Lord Jagannath in the mood of the gopis meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra. Then we look at the version, the perception of this very deep leela given by Vrindavan Das Thakur. You may think, why should there be differing perspectives? But that is how deep this leela is. I'm sure, as you've heard, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj explain this leela. Jagannanda Pandit was carrying the danda. He was entrusted with Lord Chaitanya's danda. But he wanted to go into a village in order to beg alms. So he had Lord Nityananda hold the danda. So, Nityananda Rai, he's an avaduta. His behavior does not fit often in the category of normal Vedic behavior, normal sadhaka behavior. In that sense, he does his own thing. So, what does Lord Nityananda do? Holding the danda in his hand, he looks at it and begins to laugh. He says, let us consider the situation. The one who carries this danda is the same person whom I carry in my heart. So, is there any logic to this carrying of the danda? A person whom I carry in my heart, he's carrying a danda? Doesn't make sense. Therefore, what was Nityananda's conclusion? He smashed the danda to the ground and broke it in three pieces. Ordinarily, how can anyone break Lord Chaitanya's danda? But, as you know, Balaram Hoilo Natai, Narottam Das Thakur says. Lord Nityananda is Balaram. So with the bala, the spiritual strength, smash the dungeon to the ground. Then, Jagannanda Pandit returns. What happened to the danda? Nityananda Prabhu responds, the one who accepted the danda at the time of sannyas has broken the danda. In other words, Nityananda Prabhu is saying that Lord Chaitanya broke the danda. But you may say that this is an untruthful statement. But then again, you have to consider the intimate relationship. You have to understand Balaram Tattva, how close Krishna and Balaram are, how close Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya are. So he told that to Jagadananda. The one who accepted the sannyas rod, he has broken it. Jagadananda thought, better not say anything. He was surprised and also getting in a bit of anxiety. So he went to Lord Chaitanya, presented the pieces of the broken danda. Lord Chaitanya asked, what happened to my danda? Have you been caught up in a fight? Or what happened? And Jagannanda told him, frankly, Nityananda has done this. Naturally, Lord Chaitanya asked Nityananda, why did you break my danda? What was Nityananda Prabhu's response? In so many words, he said, what's the big deal? It's just a few bamboo sticks. If you think that it is a problem, if you think that it is a big offense, then punish me however you like, but it's just a bamboo rod. And Lord Chaitanya pointed out that the sannyas rod contains all the demigods. Then, as described in both Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, the reaction of Lord Chaitanya. My only possession was my danda. Now that's gone. I'd rather not travel to Puri with you all. Either I go ahead of you or I go behind you. But I want to go on my own. At which point, Mukunda Dutta intervenes. And he says, you go first, we'll go behind you. Now, in considering once again the deep aspects of this Leela. We must again think, why did Lord Chaitanya allow his danda to be broken? Vrindavan Das Thakur also raises that question. In other words, don't just blame Nityananda Prabhu. Try to understand the relationship between Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya. How intimately interwoven they are, and how they are each the knower of one another's mind and heart. Lord Chaitanya, he's going ahead of the party now. He arrives at a Shiva temple outside of Puri. And once again, he shows how to properly honor Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee of the Lord. His anger gradually starts to dissipate, hearing the music within that temple. Anger, yes. Sometimes soft as a rose, sometimes hard as a thunderbolt. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Lord Chaitanya wanted to demonstrate the regulations of spiritual development. But hearing the kirtan in the Shiva temple, his anger began to subside. And then the devotees arrived. And their chanting and dancing enlivened Lord Chaitanya as they circled around him with Lord Chaitanya in the middle. Lord Chaitanya sees Lord Nityananda and embraces him firmly. And asks him, you're the one who's supposed to be watching over me. You're the one who's supposed to be protecting my sannyas principles. You're the one who's supposed to be restraining me. What's happening? If things are going to be like this, why don't you just finish me now? If this is the way things are going to go on. And then Lord Chaitanya announces to all the devotees, while Nityananda Prabhu hangs his head bashfully, Lord Chaitanya announces that Lord Nityananda, he is more elevated than I am. If anyone thinks they're my devotee and they've offended Lord Nityananda, they'll never get any understanding of the confidential principles of bhakti. In other words, it's not possible to be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya without being a devotee of Lord Nityananda. An offender to Lord Nityananda, even if the offender thinks, I have said nothing against Lord Chaitanya. That's not acceptable by Lord Chaitanya. In this way, Lord Chaitanya broadcasts to all his devotees how he and Lord Nityananda are so intertwined in their awareness of one another, as the intimate knowers of one another's hearts and mind. This gives us some indication of the depths of this pastime. Danda Bhanga Leela A Param Gambhira. Supremely deep, supremely mysterious. One who has bhakti dira at the lotus feet at the lotus feet of the two lords, that person can understand the mysteries of this very deep pastime. Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki Jai.
So I really appreciate the wonderful efforts. I can see the results of the preaching here, not only from the number of people, but from the enthusiasm by which you all perform Shravanam and Kirtan. It is a great credit to the leading devotees here, particularly, of course, your beloved spiritual master, Sripad Radhanath Maharaj. He spoke highly of our efforts in preaching in China this morning, and I felt that it's only proper that I could return the compliments. Actually, the real preaching is being done here because it's the most difficult place to preach. Sometimes people think, oh, India, they already know about Krishna. It's easy to make them devotees. But of course, we know in fact it is not at all easy to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Because here, people already think they know something. We often give the example, if someone's learned to play piano on their own, and then they go to a teacher, the teacher will charge more because it's a much harder job to teach them. If someone doesn't know anything, then okay, the teacher can start with a clean slate. But preaching here in India and in Bombay, people already know so much, or at least think they know so much. And they have so many ideas and conceptions about who is God and what religion is, that it is not at all an easy job to deliver Krishna consciousness. And I'm aware, I've been following the progress of this center for many years, and I know the struggles which were endured in the beginning. And you should all know that preaching is the most difficult of all tasks. And that is why Lord Chaitanya gave the preaching work to his dearmost servant, Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda took up the mission in full spirit. Recently, I had the opportunity to read a small booklet published by one of our God brothers, Satyaraj Das Prabhu, and he was writing about Buddhism in relation to Vaishnavism. He was some general lectures he'd been given in different Buddhist institutions in USA. So he made a note there describing that on one occasion, Lord Nityananda had gone to an area in Bengal where there was a large encampment of Buddhists, over 2,000. And Lord Nityananda went there along with his son and a few other devotees, and just simply by their preaching, they converted the entire camp of Buddhists into Vaishnavas. So this is just some example of the potency of Lord Nityananda in his preaching. Because, as we heard, Lord Nityananda is none different from Lord Chaitanya, but he's in some ways he's also different. He's one, but at the same time he's different, because he's coming in the mood of the servant of the personality of Godhead, the servitor personality of Godhead. Some Prabhupada has described in a purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a position of the spiritual master. So Lord Nityananda, none different from Balaram, the original spiritual master. And the spiritual master is more merciful than Krishna himself. Sometimes people are described, are surprised. How can a devotee be more merciful than Krishna? Surely Krishna is the most merciful. But actually, it is the devotee who is even more merciful than Krishna. Because Krishna rarely gives pure devotional service. Because Krishna himself becomes purchased by pure devotion. He becomes obliged to his devotees. He had to become the chariot driver for Arjuna. He was a messenger for Maharaj Yudhisthira. In this way, the Lord becomes purchased by the devotion of his devotee. So he rarely gives pure devotion. It is a characteristic of pure devotion, durlabha, very rarely achieved. The Lord doesn't give it himself so freely, but his devotees are more merciful. And this is personified in the examples, the lifestyle of Lord Nityananda. This morning we heard also Radhanath Maharaj describe the incident how Kalakrishna Das was chosen to be the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And he travelled with Lord Chaitanya for several years, for some 6 years they were travelling together as his servant. And he was a faithful servant. But at one point he became allured by some Bataharis, by some tribal caste who were involved in tantric rituals, and they had some women there with them, and he became allured by them. He fell a victim to the opposite sex. Lord Chaitanya had to go and rescue him by the hair, brought him back and took him back to Jagannath Puri. And when they returned to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya rejected him and said, I'm a sannyasi. I can't take a person like this with me. He's attracted to women. He can't come with me anymore. So then Lord Nityananda took him, gave him shelter, and sent him to Bengal to serve Mother Sachi there. But it didn't stop there. It wasn't just, give him some service to do. Let him go to Bengal and be with Mother Sachi. Let him be there. It didn't stop there. Shastras describe that later on, Kalakrishna Das became one of the 64 Mahants of Lord Nityananda. One of his 64 confidential assistants and associates in preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalakrishna Das went on to become a spiritual master, an initiate, except many disciples also. All by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we should appreciate the greatness. How it's not such an easy thing to be merciful to others. It's very easy to exploit others, to take advantage of them, to ridicule them, to speak harshly of them. But to be kind to them and to uplift them, to give them more opportunities to serve Krishna, to take more responsibility in Krishna consciousness. That is real mercy. That is real kindness. And this is the mood of Lord Nityananda. We could say, maybe Lord Nityananda had learned from his own experience some of the difficulties involved. Because when Lord Nityananda came to the association of Lord Chaitanya, he was not so, Advaita Acharya was not so happy about it. Advaita Acharya, he was the leader of all the Brahmin community. He was quite conservative. And all of a sudden, Nityananda is here. This Nitai is here. And he's behaving in odd ways. He's quite a peculiar person. He could go to the home of Srivas Thakur. And sometimes, because the wife of Srivas Thakur, Malini, enjoyed Vatsalyaras with Malini, the wife of Srivas Thakur, was in the mood of Vatsalyaras. She saw Lord Krishna, Balaram, just like her child. And so when Lord Nityananda came there, she also thought of him, just like her child. And Lord Nityananda, he reciprocated that mood. He behaved just like a child. He would take off his clothes and run around, and he would sit on the lap of Malini, and he could even suck her breasts, although she was an old woman. So this was all their inconceivable pastimes. And seeing all of these things, it was disturbing for people like Advaita Acharya. That this Nitai, he's the same as my Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A little troublesome for him. Sometimes there are joking words between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya. Especially when sometimes Nitai will come with Lord Gauranga to take prasadam at the home of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. Lord Nityananda will say that, "I've been fasting for 3 days. I hope you've prepared lots of prasadam." And Advaita Acharya will say, "I'm just a humble poor Brahmin. Please, I just simply have some rice and some sack. Please be satisfied with whatever I may serve." And then when they take prasadam, then Lord Nityananda says, "I see that I've not even been given a chance to break my fast. I've been fasting for 3 days and I still feel like I'm fasting after taking your prasadam." Advaita Acharya asks him, "Please be merciful. Please try and understand. I'm just an elderly Brahmin. I have no proper means to feed you. Please kindly accept whatever is given." Some prasadam is thrown. Lord Nityananda takes some prasad, throws it, touches the body of Advaita, and Advaita becomes ecstatic. He dances in ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada describes this as the power of Mahaprasad. Food touched by the pure devotee. That just simply the touch of that foodstuffs, that it can give one ecstasy. One can awaken transcendental symptoms. So later on, of course, when Jagai and Maghai were delivered, then this was really a disturbance for Advaita Acharya. He thought, "We're not going to have these two in our midst, are we? All the things they've done, everyone knows who they are and what they've done. We're going to bring them into our association. They have to be devotees like us." Oh no. So this is something Advaita Acharya is portraying, this mood that we should understand that devotional service actually has nothing to do with these things. That devotional service is for everyone, regardless of their caste or creed, whatever they've done before, if they can give it up and take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement, then everything, all of their sins are destroyed. Everything is wiped out. This is the great mercy of Mahaprabhu, that he's giving everyone the chance to change their lives. We remember Srila Prabhupada in his final days in Vrindavan, and he was saying that if I have done anything, he said, "I have given a better life for so many people." So this is Mahaprabhu also. And this mood of Mahaprabhu is put into action through Nityananda, through Nitai, Nityananda Mahajan. That by his preaching, by his glorious efforts in spreading the Sankirtan movement, everyone has the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that when Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he brought with him a storehouse of love of God, but the contents were sealed. But now, with the appearance of the Panchatattva, they have plundered that storehouse, They broke open that storehouse and distributed the contents far and wide. And the more the contents is distributed, the more the supply increases hundreds of times. There is no scarcity in distributing love of God. It is not like the Bengali avatar who says that, "Now I have given you all of my Shakti. I have nothing left for myself. Now I am bereft of everything. I have given you everything." But rather, as we distribute Krishna consciousness, the more the supply increases, more and more. We want to preach this Krishna consciousness in the same mode as Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Ram, he is this personification of mercy, distributing love of God without discrimination. The lame man, the blind man, the young, the old, women, children, everyone has the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness. It is not just for a few. It is meant for everyone, every living entity. We know that the devotees of the Lord give Krishna consciousness to everyone, even the dogs. So if we keep this mode of trying to simply serve the in this mode of Lord Nityananda, then Krishna consciousness can be sure to expand, to go on eternally. It is not some material phenomena, but it is a dynamic process. And so long as we simply stick to the principles, we continue with the chanting, following the instructions as they have been given by Srila Prabhupada, which is none different from the instructions of Lord Nityananda, we can be sure that Krishna consciousness will go on. In the mood of Lord Nityananda, we request everyone to chant the holy name. We request everyone to read Krishna's books and worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. These are not difficult things to do. We all have a little time. We like to read. We see in India how much people love newspapers. If they could read the books of Krishna as they read a newspaper, in the same regulated style they open the newspaper every morning. Just think of the saving on the trees. Worship of Krishna. Instead of worshipping our own body, if we simply worship Krishna. Every morning, the ladies have to paint their faces. They can paint the deity's faces. You like to paint faces? Paint the deity's. Give worship to Krishna and chant the name of Krishna. Chanting, of course, is easier performed in the association of devotees. You're so fortunate. You have such a huge assembly, such a wonderful facility for practicing Krishna consciousness. You should take advantage. Do not waste time. Simply absorb yourself in these simple activities and go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.
We have been hearing about the great significance of Lord Nityananda within our devotional culture. Devamrita Maharaj so eloquently narrated the story of Nityananda Prabhu breaking the Ekadanda and transforming it into Tridanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the purpose of his taking sannyas was simply to reach more people with the message of love of God. There were people who were so proud due to high learning, affluent position, that they just saw him as an ordinary man. And even they criticized him. Lord Chaitanya held no grudge. He wanted to help them. So he was willing to give up all the comforts of home, loving relations, to live with no possessions, no family, and wander to give love of God to others. It was for that reason he accepted sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu broke the danda for reasons that Devamrita Maharaj already explained. And it is very interesting because more than anyone else, Nityananda Prabhu pursued and fulfilled the very mission and purpose of Lord Chaitanya's taking sannyas. To reach more and more and more people. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, that brought limitations to who he could preach to. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, for a sannyasi, it's like a white cloth. Any spot, and everyone will criticize it. And when a sannyasi loses his reputation, he can no longer help anyone. It's finished. So he was very strict. He instructed Nityananda Prabhu. Those people I cannot reach. I took sannyas to reach people I could not reach. But now there's other people I cannot reach. I was preaching to so many common people. I took sannyas to reach the more higher society, the more educated, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharyas, the Prakashananda Saraswatis. But now, the very lowly, sinful people, the drunkards, I'll be criticized if I'm near them. Nityananda Prabhu, you go. They are the majority in this age of Kali, and reach to them. Nityananda Prabhu took that service as his life and soul, and as we heard this morning, he was even willing to give up the most precious thing in his heart, the personal association with Lord Chaitanya, in order to fulfill his instruction. Imagine, Nityananda Prabhu, he was born in Ekachakra. He was simply waiting for Lord Chaitanya to appear so he could join him. And just to maintain his life with his little friends, he constantly arranged dramas every day in their play of Lord Krishna's pastimes and all the avatars, waiting for Lord Chaitanya. When he was 12 years old, he roared very loud. No one had ever seen a little 12-year-old child roar like this. Because that was the moment that his beloved Lord, Gauranga, had appeared in Navadvip Dham. And he was wondering, my mother, my father, my friends, everyone in Eka Chakra, they love me more than their life. They cannot give up my company for even a moment. Can you imagine? His little friends would play with him all day, sometimes all night. What would parents say? But in Eka Chakra, all the parents were so happy that their children were with Nityananda. They loved him. He was everything. How would he ever leave to join Lord Chaitanya? So by his own will, a sannyasi came to Eka Chakra and asked for alms. A Dai Pandit, the father, said, whatever you like, you can have. I want your son, Nityananda, to travel with me as an assistant. And in this way, Nityananda Prabhu, he left Eka Chakra. The whole, his mother, his father, everyone was unconscious in grief as he was leaving. But he was smiling. He was going to see Lord Chaitanya. But he went on, while he was waiting for Lord Chaitanya to start the Nam Sankirtan movement, he traveled with the sannyasi and ultimately settled in Vrindavan for 20 years, waiting in separation to be reunited with Lord Gauranga. Meditating on serving his beloved Lord. And he would not render the service that he incarnated to do until the Lord gave him the order. Can you imagine? He was meeting unlimited fallen conditioned souls who were bereft of love of God. But he wouldn't speak to them about the holy name or anything. Because his mission was to do it on behalf of Lord Gauranga. And to give all credit to Lord Gauranga. Waiting. Ultimately, he was in Vrindavan at the Sringarbhat, which is now called Nityanandabhat. And in the mood of a cowherd boy, he would play with the children, he would play in the Yamuna, he would play with the cows, constantly immersed in the bliss of Krishna consciousness, waiting for Lord Chaitanya to begin his movement. Longing to be reunited. And when he received the inspiration that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to Gaya, he has begun Nam Sankirtan movement, he is exhibiting the highest qualities of pure love, Nityananda Prabhu left Vrindavan. Very difficult. For a pure devotee living in Vrindavan, the highest realm. It's interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was always trying to go to Vrindavan. After he took initiation, he was running to Vrindavan. But the demigods told him, no, you have a mission. Go back to Navadvip. Start Nam Sankirtan movement. Go to Vrindavan later. Then after his South Indian tour of so many years, he was trying to go to Vrindavan, but his devotees were restraining him because they thought he'll never come back. Nityananda Prabhu was in Vrindavan. His eternal home, he's Balaram. But without a second thought, he left Vrindavan. Why? To be reunited with Lord Chaitanya Krishna. To serve his mission. Meanwhile, in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees, and one day he said, last night I had a dream, a wonderful dream. in front of my house was a chariot. Not an ordinary chariot, but a chariot that is fit to take one from the material world to the spiritual world. And on that chariot was a large, beautiful man. He had one earring, beautiful blue cloth. His eyes were intoxicated with ecstatic love. He held a plow over his shoulder. This was none other than Lord Balaram himself. Over and over again, he asked the question, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? On that chariot was a flag with a palm tree insignia, the flag of Balaram. I feel this great personality has come to Navadweep. He told me, when I asked him, who are you? He said, I am your brother. Tomorrow we will meet. My devotees, Srivas, Haridas, go through all of Navadweep and find my brother. They searched throughout the whole day, 9 hours. Came back, said, we went everywhere. We could not find such a person. Lord Chaitanya smiled. Nityananda Prabhu is very mysterious. And he brought them right to the house of Nandanacharya, where Nityananda Prabhu was standing on a terrace. And as soon as he saw the Lord, at this time he was about 32 years old. 32 years. He was longing in separation to be reunited with his beloved Lord. When he saw Lord Chaitanya with his eyes, he just drank him, all of his senses. His eyes, his ears, his nose, his tongue, his body, every one of his senses was just embracing, worshiping the beautiful form of Gauranga. He fell unconscious. It was too much. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the devotees chant the holy names around Lord Nityananda Prabhu until he finally came to consciousness and the two brothers embraced and began Nam Sankirtan. At the house of Srivas, Gornitai had their first kirtan together. All the assembled devotees never saw such intimate affection between two beings. It was Krishna Balaram reunited. They were embracing each other, trying to touch each other's feet, dancing, gazing at each other, weeping, crying, hair standing on end, limbs trembling. Everyone celebrated this great reunion with the loud chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. They had Vyas Puja for Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the house of Srivas. At a certain point, Srivas, who was organizing the event, told Nityananda Prabhu, you should put the garland on Vyasdev now. And he stood holding the garland. He said, yes. Srivas said, Nityananda Prabhu, it's the auspicious time. Place the garland on Vyasdev. Yes. Repeatedly. Finally, Srivas Thakur said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, your Nityananda is not giving the garland to Vyasdev. He's just standing. So Lord Chaitanya said, Nitai, place the garland on Vyasdev. And Nityananda Prabhu placed the garland on Lord Chaitanya. his Lord, the source of Vyasadeva, the source of everyone, of everything that exists. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to fulfill his innermost desire, manifested his sadbuja, his six-arm form before Lord Nityananda Prabhu. One day, Sachi Mata told her son, Lord Chaitanya, I had a dream last night, a very mysterious dream. I cannot understand what it means. Please tell me, what is the dream? He said, I was worshipping my deities of Krishna and Balaram. And then I saw you and Lord Nityananda. You were like five-year-old little children. And Nityananda Prabhu ran on the altar and took off, the two of you took off the deities of Krishna and Balaram from the altar and started eating all the bhoga that was being offered to them. Balaram looked at Nityananda and said, what you are doing? This bhoga is for my Krishna. We'll beat you. You cannot do this. Who are you to take the bhoga of Krishna before he eats it? And then I saw Nityananda Prabhu fearlessly, smiling, laughing. He chastised Balaram. He said, the days of your Krishna as a cowherd boy are gone. The days of your Krishna stealing butter and all of this is all gone. Now my Lord Gauranga, the best of the Brahmins, he has come to deliver the world. In this way, she said, they were fighting over the sweets. And then Nityananda cried out. He looked over at me and said, Sachi Mata, feed me, feed me. She said, I don't understand. What was this? Lord Chaitanya said, this is a very good dream. Very nice dream. But please do not tell anyone about this dream. Very confidential. He said, but now I understand. Sometimes I would see when you would offer bhoga to the deity, some of it was missing. I thought my wife was stealing the bhoga. But now I know that the deities are actually eating. Wife laughed. He said, now I will go to bring Nityananda Prabhu so you can feed him. So she went. Lord Chaitanya went to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, Sachi Mata is cooking for you today, but behave properly. You're coming to my mother's house. You must behave properly. Nityananda Prabhu said, you're asking me to behave properly? Who are you to tell? I always behave properly. Because you don't behave properly, therefore you're thinking I'm not behaving properly. So they went to the house. And they sat down for prasad, and Gadadhar and Haridas Thakur, and they were all assembled there. And Sachi Mata cooked a beautiful feast of prasad offered to Krishna Balaram, and she personally brought it out to serve to them. But the amazing thing is, as she was serving them, she saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda turn into two little five-year-old boys without any clothes on. They both had four arms. One was blue, like a monsoon cloud. One was white, like a spring cloud. It was Krishna Balaram. Her deities. From the deities. She was serving the prasad of the deities to her deities again. She was in so much ecstasy that she fell unconscious and dropped all the prasad on the ground. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately got up to lift her up. And she She just went to her room and wept in love. She knew at that time that these Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were Krishna and Balaram. And she's Mother Yashoda in Krishna's Leela. They are eternally her children. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to spread the greatest treasure of love of God to everyone and anyone without discrimination. And as Devamrita Maharaj and Narasingha Maharaj were speaking this morning, he wanted the world to understand the glory of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He wanted to bring everyone into that mercy. And to understand this principle, some philosophy, some cultural awareness is necessary. We were describing from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita this morning how Nityananda's expansions. As Balaram, he is sustaining the entire Goloka Vrindavan. As Mahashankarshan, his expansion, he is maintaining the entire spiritual existence. All the innumerable Vaikuntha planets and everything within the Vaikuntha planets. To facilitate the loving relationships between the Lord and His devotees. As Lord Shesha, He is not only rendering personal service to the Lord in the most intimate way, in the most menial ways, whenever. There's nothing too high or too low for Lord Nityananda. He's willing to be the shoes of the Lord. He expands himself to be the Lord's shoes. The Lord's bed. The Lord's umbrella. Any service. In this way, the Lord is showing us. He's the greatest of the great. In bhakti, in devotional service, there is no high or low. Samsadir Haritoshanam. To please the Lord is the only goal. If the Lord is pleased, that is the true fulfillment of all the desires of a devotee. To think that a street sweeper is lower than a big preacher is an illusion. The big preacher may have ego. The street sweeper may be pleasing the Lord even more if he or she has a humble service attitude. King Prataparudra, he was the king of all of Orissa. But to please the Lord, he accepted the role of a common street sweeper. And don't think that everyone understood this. His father, he also swept the street. He was supposed to get married. And you know how India is. The king of the princess, he was supposed to get married, the father. Canceled the marriage when he found out he's sweeping a street. He's supposed to be king. He's doing a low caste work. Forget it. There is no way my daughter is going to marry someone who sweeps the street. Hare Krishna. King Purushottam, he felt sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath. It's the highest thing. It's far greater than being a king. He didn't mind. So yes, Prataparudra Maharaj was sweeping the street. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided at that point, because of his service attitude, because of his devotion, I will fulfill all of his desires and bestow my full mercy upon him. So Nityananda Prabhu, who is the first expansion of the Supreme Lord, takes the role of serving in every and any possible way to show the world that we should not be particular about devotional service. If we're really a servant, we will do whatever pleases the Lord. And we will honor anyone who has sincere devotion. Dukhi, she was just a simple laborer lady. She wasn't a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. She was just a simple lady doing laboring chores, just carrying water. But because she did it in such a spirit of devotion, without any desire for recognition, without any desire for personal profit, she just wanted to assist devotees. Lord Chaitanya sees the heart. Lord Chaitanya sees the intent. Our devotional service is not based on what we do, it is based on the intent in which we do it. Because he saw such a pure intent in this simple, poor little woman, he asked Shivas, who is she? Said, she is a maidservant. Her name is Dukhi. Dukhi means miserable. Lord Chaitanya said, no, I cannot accept that she's Dukhi. Today I make her Sukhi, which means blissful. And he actually did. He gave her the crest jewel of all spiritual treasures. He gave her prema bhakti, love of God, beyond mystic powers, beyond elevation to the heavens, beyond mukti or liberation. He gave her entrance into pure ecstatic love, the constitutional nature of the soul. Why? Because she carried some water with sincere devotion. Nityananda Prabhu, as Shesha, is eternally revealing the highest principle. You want to be God? Well, I'm God, and I want to be the shoes for God. I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. There is nothing higher than that. And not only that, but Ananta Shesha is maintaining the entire material existence. He's maintaining the entire spiritual existence as Mahashankarshan to facilitate loving relationships, and he's maintaining the entire material existence to facilitate people to utilize their own free will to reconnect with God. That's the purpose of the whole material existence. There cannot be love without free will. Today, we're so much into this whole computer consciousness. We just want to program everything. And because of association with so many programs, we become programmed. Actually, Krishna consciousness is deprogramming. Some people want to deprogram the deprogrammers. Because love is our free will to reciprocate with another in a favorable way. And love of God, the highest love, is the soul's nature. But we have to utilize our free will to once again unite with our nature. That is the perfection of yoga. Mukti means we're tired of suffering. We're tired of conflict and anxiety. So we want to rise above it all and negate all the causes of suffering and anxiety, and enter into that sphere in the Brahmajyoti where there is no longer any dynamic dualities. There is simply being. But the heart is thirsting for something more than being. Shanti, peace, is something very, very attractive to one whose mind and senses are in turmoil, to one who's unstable and suffering. But the heart is thirsting for love. Love is the very essence of the cause of existence. What are most of the songs about? Religious songs are about love of God. Take religion out, what are the songs about? About love between my baby, my beloved. Yes? And probably 90% of the songs are about the miseries of lost love. It's true. 10% of the songs about the joy of love between a man and a woman. When a man loves a woman, when a woman loves a man. There's one song, Devamrita Maharaj certainly remembers it. Where, I will not embarrass it, where it describes when a man loves a woman, and when that love doesn't go right, there is no pain that could cause more suffering to the soul than that. Yes? There is no pain. When I was a little boy, I listened to that song, I cried. Cried. This man is really suffering. Says it right there. Goes right to the soul. There's nothing you can do about it except cry and cry and cry. So take God out of this relation of love. What's Bollywood about? I've never seen a Bollywood movie. And I'm not feeling that I have been deprived. Although I've lived in Bollywood for so many years. But I see those hoardings, those billboards. And it's all... always beautiful men and handsome women. See, sannyasis have a different perspective. And sometimes they're embracing. But other times they have knives in their hands and guns. Guns ready to shoot each other. Very, very... You forget your love for God, and you have to find love somewhere. It's the fundamental, most essential need for every living being to love and be loved. So why do we think that the perfection of life is to negate all dualities and just be in peace? Beyond that, is to awaken our original, natural love that we're trying to replace and find a substitute for through so many of our dealings within this world. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sabja Kabunoi Sravanadi Surijeti Koriye Udoi. That love of God is within the heart of every living being. It's our original nature. It simply has to be awakened. And at this age, the most effective, powerful way of awakening that love of God is to associate with those who are striving to love God. And to clean our heart. To just take all the coverings away from the heart. When you wipe the mirror clean, what do you see? Yourself. When the mirror is dirty, what do you see? Dirt. And when we see ourselves, what do we see? We see the potential love of God that is our very essence. And that is done, that cleansing, through the chanting of God's holy name. So this whole material existence is simply to facilitate people to come to the conclusion that to awaken my love for Krishna is the real purpose of life. And Lord Nityananda as Shesha is maintaining it all. Now, in our spiritual lives, we want to go to Vrindavan to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani and her loving service to Krishna. But as it was explained by my very dear sannyasi godbrothers, it's very difficult. Lord Krishna appeared and manifested Vrindavan here on earth with his most loving associates to reveal to us what is the spiritual world. What are the actions? What are the feelings of the spiritual world? And how we can go there. But it was very limited to a small circle of people, of his intimate associates. Lord Chaitanya came to break open that seal, that enclosure. Like a lake that has millions of rivers coming out of it, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu wanted to make Vrindavan accessible to all. And how? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna in one form. By serving Lord Chaitanya, whatever service you do for Lord Chaitanya is direct service to Srimati Radharani in her loving service to Krishna. Any service done to Lord Chaitanya is service to the divine couple of Radha and Krishna. And it's available for everyone. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu understood. And although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Nityananda Prabhu, go out and preach to people, to chant the names of Krishna. He begged people. He pleaded with people. Take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And automatically you will achieve Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Again, he is the foundation. If we want to make real spiritual progress, we have to have a strong foundation in our spiritual lives. And that foundation is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has said, if you take shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, then automatically the mercy of the six Goswamis, the mercy of Swarup Damodar Goswami, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya will bring you to Vrindavan. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, as the original Guru, set the highest standard himself in the role of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada writes, the greatness of a person has to be understood by how that person is able to tolerate provoking situations. Anyone can say they're great. Greatness is not a matter of scholarship alone. It's not a matter of having many followers. It's not a matter of having mystical powers. But real greatness is how one is able to tolerate provoking situations. Nityananda Prabhu, in this song by Lochan Das Thakur, it is entitled Akrodha Paramananda, Supreme Bliss That Is Never Angry. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is going to people who have offended him so terribly. In fact, Jagai Madhai, they tried to kill him. That beautiful story that Narasingha Maharaj told today about that Brahmin, that dacoit, he not only wanted to rob Nityananda Prabhu, he wanted to kill him. And three attempts. He was determined. He was persistent. Madhai hated Nityananda. Literally. And Nityananda Prabhu, he was not angry at them. If someone hates you, if someone's criticizing you, if someone wants to kill you, how do you feel about that person? It's a provoking situation. Nityananda only wanted to forgive them. Only wanted the best for them. This is a universal principle. In the Bible, they asked Jesus about loving your neighbor, but what about your enemies? He said, anyone could love people who love you. But if you're my devotee, you will love even your enemies. What if someone offends you? The old scripture says if someone offends you seven times, you can forgive him. He says, I say, if that person offends you 70 times, 70 times, seven times, you should forgive him. And if you have an offering you're taking to the altar, but you have anger towards someone else, put your offering down. Go to that person. Forgive him. Then Krishna, then God will accept your offering. This is a universal principle. And those who are crucifying him, his prayer, God forgive them. They know not what they do. Vasudev Dutt, he prayed, my Lord, my heart breaks when I think of people suffering due to their bad karmas in this world. Let everyone in the entire universe, all their karma fall on my head. Let me suffer hellish conditions perpetually. But bring everyone back. Bring everyone except me back to your spiritual world to enjoy with you. And I'll suffer all their karmas. Very difficult. But where is the source of that compassion that Vasudev Dutt has? The source is Nityananda Prabhu. The very embodiment of forgiveness and love. Where is the source of that forgiveness of Lord Jesus and all the great saints? It's coming from God Himself, manifested as Nityananda Prabhu. He's teaching by His example. And He's giving love of God to those who are trying to kill Him. And when they were living in Puri, after all these, well, before that, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he's going out and preaching, but he's coming every night back and doing all-night kirtan with Lord Chaitanya and telling him about the day and pleasing the Lord and seeing him smile. And when they had that procession to Chan Kazi's house, the first public Harinam procession, Lord Chaitanya was dividing the groups of kirtans, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, I cannot be separated from you. I cannot even be in another kirtan group. I must be with you. I've waited so long to be with you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you be at my side. That was their relationship. So what Devamrita Maharaj was speaking this morning is very, very deep, as he was saying. After all those years of Nityananda Prabhu to long to be in the physical presence of Lord Chaitanya again, Lord Chaitanya says, don't come back to Puri. Go to Bengal and stay there to give love of God to others. And Nityananda Prabhu did it. And how he did it. The very embodiment of compassion. Compassion is the universal principle of all spiritual paths. There may be many philosophical differences, cultural differences, but to be willing to make sacrifices of oneself to show compassion to others is the quality of a saintly person everywhere. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not consider one's qualification or disqualification. He only considered one thing, our eagerness to receive it. That's all. If we're simply willing to accept with faith and eagerness, then He will give us everything. Srila Prabhupada emphasized Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy because people in this age of Kali have so little qualification and so much disqualification. To become a little pious, to get some mystic powers, that's another thing. But to get entrance into Vrindavan, the highest abode of love, it's the most qualified position. But Nityananda Prabhu is giving the entrance to everyone and anyone. And we sang that beautiful song. He opened a marketplace for the holy name. The only price, your faith and your eagerness to receive it. That's all. So simple. Whatever you've been. Kaul Krishnadas betrayed the Lord and fell down. And the Lord had to discard him so that other people would learn a good lesson. But even those that Lord Chaitanya rejected, Nityananda Prabhu accepted. And as we have heard, he made him an acharya with ecstatic love, giving others ecstatic love. That dacoit, who was a murderer, a thief, Lord Nityananda Prabhu not only gave him ecstatic love of God, but he made him an acharya, a guru, to give other dacoits ecstatic love of God. He knew how to mix with those people. And it worked. In the age of Kali, our only hope is mercy. If you think you deserve something, it's not mercy. Yes? If I go to a store and I give 1,000 rupees for some product, and that man says, okay, here it is. Do you say, oh, you are merciful? It's not mercy. It's business. But if you have nothing and you're hungry and that person says, because I love you, here, take it. That's mercy. If we feel we're qualified, we cannot beg for mercy. And unless you beg for mercy, you cannot get mercy. Mercy is everywhere. But to access it, we have to beg for it. When we're chanting the holy names, we should be begging for mercy. When we're performing our service, we should be begging for mercy. When we're worshiping the deities, we should be begging for mercy. When we're with Vaishnavas, Bancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shah, we're begging for mercy. But it's not just a formal ritual. It's not just on our lips. Bancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. And then as soon as we finish our Bancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shah, we say, did you see what he did? You think he's a good devotee? You should hear what I know. Bancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shah. What is the meaning? To actually offer respects to other from the heart. To really beg for mercy. We have to feel unqualified. Now, for materialistic people, this is a really strange conception. Really strange. Even for pseudo-wreath spiritual people. Because there's so many seminars and books about self-help and everything to make you feel that I'm really qualified. What is this? I'm not qualified. What to speak of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? Can you imagine if Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to a self-help seminar? And everyone was revealing their minds. And they're trying to boost up your ego so you feel important. And he says, I'm lower than a worm in stool. I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Anyone who hears my name loses their piety, and anyone who speaks my name becomes sinful. They would say, you know, just lay down. Just lay down. We have some medication for you. They would never understand these things. But that's not where he ends. From that humility, from that expression of his being totally unqualified. Then the next verse is how he falls to take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. You see, if he just ended with being a worm and stool, then there's some serious problem there. But in that mood, I'm taking shelter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Then the full mercy comes. And that is why we read the prayers of all the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatams and our Vaishnava literatures. They are all presenting themselves as very unqualified. And the most amazing thing is people who think they're the most unqualified are the most qualified. And people who think they're the most qualified are the most unqualified. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. Unless you understand what is bhakti. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, such a great personality. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, prime minister, home minister of an entire kingdom. Most qualified people. A devotee feels they're unqualified. Why? Because they understand that ultimately I'm completely dependent on mercy. The qualification is not my own. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu is giving the highest mercy to the most qualified, to anyone who simply opens their heart with eagerness to receive it. What great hope there is. What solace. So we pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. We are filled with so many material desires, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion. And these are not just, you know, small marks in our heart. Trying to remove them is like an ant trying to move the Himalayan mountains. Have you had that experience? It's very difficult. This is material energy. But if we pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, God helps those who help themselves, but we must pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Remove these material attachments, remove these material desires. So that I could see Vrindavan. So that I can be offerable by you to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's entering the dynamics of the relationship between Jagai Madhai, Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda. Madhai saw the chakra in Lord Chaitanya's hand. He saw Jagai get transformed, and Madhai fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said, please, give me mercy too. Lord Chaitanya said, no, you have offended Nityananda. Only Lord Nityananda can give you mercy. And then Madhai went and fell at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Lord Chaitanya said, if you pick him up and embrace him, then he will achieve mercy. He will achieve perfection. Lord Nityananda Prabhu embraced him and then instructed him to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not consider him his own. He only delivered him to the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yes, even if we're Jagais and Madhais, if we simply give up our bad habits, take shelter of the holy name and beg for his mercy, Nityananda Prabhu will deliver us to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then we have achieved
entrance into Radha Krishna's Leela in Sri Vrindavan Dham through the chanting of the holy name. On this very holy day, we are seeking the mercy and the blessings of Lord Nityananda Prabhu to help us to go beyond our material egos and attachments and be able to chant the holy name with deep, sincere feelings. That is the perfection of our life. If we can do that, our life is perfect. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there Arti now? Yes? We will now have Gaur Arti. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is most happy when we dance very blissfully and chant his holy names very loudly. And let us offer our deepest sincere gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has manifested the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu to all of our hearts.